place Sunday, September 7th, and is a great way to detox after a long summer. Whether you're getting back from Labor Day weekend or decompressing from the burn, this is a great way to stay healthy through dance, foods, and multiple healing modalities. That's A Touch of Portland, Sunday, September 7th at Northwest 17th and Davis. Go to kbu.fm/touchofportland for more information on this event.
It's 10 o'clock. Time for Air Cascadia, coming right up, followed by Flashpoints, and at 11 o'clock, The Bike Show. Thank you for becoming members of KBU. We really appreciate it. And it's 10 o'clock, as I said, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today we're going to be talking with Matt Rothschild at the PR Watch and the Center for Media and Democracy on government surveillance and investigative reporters in general. Indeed, journalism is the latest endeavor to find itself in the crosshairs. We'll be speaking with Matt in just a moment. Matt's closer to home, Everett, Washington. Five local activists start work at a Burlington Northern Santa Fe rail yard by erecting a tripod structure on the outbound railroad tracks directly in front of both a mile-long oil train and a coal train. If you don't think mile-long coal trains are a terrifying reality out of some sort of dystopian future world, well, come along with me on my commute every day on I-84, where literally the entire length of the tracks, which run parallel to I-84, the entire thing is one long train of cars. They're black tankers. They're obviously oil tankers. The whole distance. It's incredible. Saying a mile long has got to be the understatement of the year. Seattle resident Abby Brockway, who's a small business owner and mother, was suspended from this. Small business owner, mother, ordinary people, own a tripod because they seriously are concerned about this and have no intention, no retreat, no surrender till the coal trains are stopped. This is like 18 feet, nearly 20 feet above the tracks. Four other people were locked to the legs of the tripod. The group, of course, on behalf of so many of us, is demanding an immediate halt to all shipments of fossil fuels. We now have the prospect of a propane terminal going in. Propane? Wait, come on. First we're talking coal, now we're talking oil. We've been talking LNG forever and ever, and we thought we'd stop that, and look what happened. And now they've got a terminal to ship propane. There's a boat I don't want to be on in the middle of the Pacific where that thing blows. It's propane. All you got to do is drop a match down the wrong crack. The group in Washington is calling on Governor Inslee to reject permits for all new fossil fuel projects in Washington, including the proposed oil and coal terminals. And good reason for coal and oil terminals. Bloody good reason, I guess, that they've turned their attention to, of all things, propane and propane accessories, no doubt. We've got Lisa Graves with PR Watch on the line right now. The Reporters Committee for Freedom of Press and 24 news organizations have all banded together to ask the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, ha, what a joke, to investigate whether journalists' confidential sources and other news gathering is being compromised by widespread national security surveillance programs. Look at what happened to James Risen. Look at John Kiriakou's in prison right now. Numerous reporters under the radar right now are in the sights of government surveillance programs and threats to their privacy, to their security, indeed to their freedom, are right now in balance. Good morning. Lisa Graves, with the executive director at PR Watch, is joining us today to talk about this troubling and infuriating issue. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, we are absolutely delighted to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves. I received the press release, and I was, you know, we know it's going on. Everyone feels it in greater or small, to greater or smaller degree. Yeah, or at least we ought to be feeling, we ought to be aware of it. But of all people, journalists, these are the people we can least afford to compromise their integrity, to compromise their sources, and in some cases, to compromise their freedom. Can you talk about the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press and PR Watch are doing, and what the intent of this letter is?
Well, a number of national journalism organizations or outlets, including my organization, the Center for Media and Democracy, and the Progressive, have joined together to really challenge the executive branch's efforts to punish or, you know, force reporters to reveal their sources. And in this case, the particular case involves James Risen, who wrote a book about some of these national security issues, and the administration has been attempting to, you know, force him to reveal his sources for some of the information that he provided to the American public in that book. And we have joined together both to challenge the administration directly in terms of its efforts on this front. And unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court did not vindicate reporters' privilege in this case. We had been hopeful, although not that optimistic given the makeup of this extremely right-wing court, but we had been hopeful that there would be some protection given to the journalist James Risen from the New York Times. Unfortunately, the court rejected that effort, and so now the decision is in the hands of the Obama administration whether to force James Risen to reveal his sources under, you know, penalty of going to jail, literally. And so this latest effort by a coalition of organizations nationally is to ask the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, which was created as a result of a recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission recommended that there be an oversight board. I was deeply skeptical about that board throughout the Bush administration. It was stacked with right wingers. It was a joke. It had no teeth and no willingness to take any action to protect civil liberties. In its current form, it includes, I believe, Judge Pat Wald, who's formerly of the D.C. Circuit, who is, you know, as a judge, has really stood up for people's freedom. She previously worked on some of the international human rights issues, and so I have some hope that PCLOB will say something positive about the need to defend press freedoms. However, whatever the PCLOB does, whatever that board does, is merely a recommendation. It's hortatory, and it doesn't require action by the administration. But my hope and our hope is that if the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board were to take a stand for the freedom for journalists, that would put additional pressure on the administration to not pursue criminally a journalist who was doing his job, investigating the administration, shedding light on these matters for the American public to be more informed in an area in which the public has been really kept in the dark in ways that hurt our ability to weigh in meaningfully in a democracy on our foreign policy choices.
Yeah, Everything about this is extraordinary. And of course, James Rosen is in his own story is so infuriating and troubling. It seems odd that they would go after him, after Rice, and demand that he reveal his sources. But with all this massive surveillance architecture in place, they must know already exactly who his sources are.
Well, there certainly, I think, has been a lot of chilling of the work of investigative journalism since September 11th in terms of the way both the Bush administration and the Obama administration has carried forward the Bush administration's extreme surveillance policies. I have been a long-standing opponent of those policies. I think that they, are the sort of bridge too far that Senator Frank Church warned about in the Church Committee proceedings in the 1970s about the capacity of the NSA to spy on our own citizens, to turn the weapon of mass electronic surveillance on the American people and create the ability to create dossiers on people's private communications. I think that people's communications by phone, by email, whether you're a journalist or an ordinary citizen, those things should be private. The government should not be acquiring them, should not be storing them, should not be searching through them, should not be able to compile a set of your communications. In the case of James Risen, in this particular instance, it's possible that he did not communicate electronically with all of his sources. We certainly take measures on our end with CMD in terms of how we deal with our sources to try to protect there from being inadvertent or advertent direct surveillance of our communications with sources. And so that's made it more difficult for journalists. And that's one of the reasons why there was a lawsuit brought by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, one of our good friends and allies, that was challenging the administration's policies. That's why we've joined in amicus briefs and other cases on the side of journalists who say that their ability to do their job, to investigate, has been chilled by these policies that are both the national security surveillance policies as well as the threat to journalists that they may have to reveal their sources. It's made it more difficult, and that's, I think, why, given the revelations of Mr. Snowden last summer and the ongoing set of revelations that have been covered by The Guardian and covered by Glenn Greenwald's new organization, why it's imperative that those lawsuits be reinstated and that the federal courts, fully consider the consequences of these policies on journalists and other Americans after those cases were kicked out of court as a result of, I think, deeply deceptive arguments made by the Bush administration and the Obama administration trying to erect a sort of state secret notion into U.S. law to solidify that very weak precedent about those legal issues and to try to use that as a tool, as a weapon, to bludgeon our ability to vindicate our rights, our First Amendment rights in our court system.
So we're rapidly running out of time, and I want to make sure there's time at the end for you to tell our listeners where they can go for more from the Center for Media Democracy, PR Watch, and where this line of investigation takes us ultimately, because we should be following it. If we don't, we neglect it at our own peril. And if people think that this only applies to journalists, think again. I want to briefly, just before we let you go, ask you on what grounds, because this fascinates me, did the Supreme Court, there seems to be no valid constitutional grounds for the Supreme Court decision on this. How can anyone make an argument?
Well, this court and also the circuit courts, quite frankly, the appellate courts, the intermediate appellate courts, have been stacked with right-wingers, with people who are, pro-corporate rights at the expense of human rights. And in this instance, you have a number of judges on the courts that have, failed to take what I consider to be a modern 21st century interpretation of our First Amendment freedom of press to ensure that the freedom of press includes a privilege for journalists. Unfortunately, over the course of U.S. history, that privilege has not been recognized as a matter of constitutional law, and it hasn't been solidified as a matter of statutory law. That's a major gap in, I think, the U.S. government's commitment and the commitment of all three branches of the federal government to genuine freedom of the press. And so that's why we're writing about that. That's why you can learn learn more at progressive.org. You can also learn more about the details of the lawsuit and that happened in the past about James Risen and the most recent letter to the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board by going to the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. But please check out our site, progressive.org, and also prwatch.org if you want to find more reporting about our efforts to help defend the interests of journalists like James Risen to have protection for their sources.
So the main source for listeners, PR Watch, the Center for Media and Democracy, and Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, these are all, and the Progressive, these are all go-to places where listeners can find out a great deal more about this, and it is all to our benefit to inform ourselves, because it's indeed our democracy, our freedom that's on the line here. My guest has been Lisa Graves, of course, with Center for Media and Democracy and PR Watch. Thanks again for that, Lisa, and we'll post all those links on the KBOO website, as well as the and many head-banging headlines that we didn't get to, but we know you want to hear about. So this is B, Air Cascadia, Wednesday, September 3rd. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, we ask the question, what role has U.S. policy in Syria played toward the rise of the group known as ISIS? Then we talk with a former FBI intelligence specialist who's part of an effort questioning the Obama administration's evidence of Russia's direct military involvement in the Ukraine. Finally, with the world's human population having passed 7 billion, is overpopulation the real problem with